that I have for us today is appreciate, embrace, and thank God for His word. Appreciate, embrace, and thank God for His word. Let's open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read from verse. So can we start from the end of my time so that I will be able to know? From the end of my time, so that way I will be able to know, so I won't have to wait. Amen. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. If you can join me to read, then you can go ahead and join me. It says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Be happy in your faith. The faith we have is the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said we should rejoice in that faith and we should be glad-hearted continually. In other words, we should be merry for the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 18 says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be, be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Say, thank God in everything. Say, no matter what the circumstances may be, which means it might be good, it might not be good, but you just have to simply thank God. Why must you thank God? Because you understand that you are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. You are a member of God's household. And because you're a member of God's household, God takes care of you. Because your citizenship is from heaven, Colossians 3:20. And because you know you're a citizen of heaven, you know that heaven will keep on meeting your needs. And therefore, he said, no matter what the circumstances may be, just simply keep on thanking me. I have your back covered. But you just thank me. Just thank me. No matter what, don't go by what you're seeing. Don't go by how you're feeling. Just go by the fact that you are my daughter. You are my son. I take care of you. I have your back covered. So no matter what you're seeing, stand in the face of that thing and lift up your hands and begin to praise and worship me and thank me because I have your back covered. Amen? But you know it's a difficult thing for us to do, especially since we are still in this flesh. You want to look at, you know, your five senses will be at alert. And you want to respond based on what your natural senses are telling you. But God said, no. Remember, I have given you the sixth sense. Switch over to that sixth sense and begin to thank me because I have your back covered. Amen? Colossians 3:17 says, I'm sorry, I haven't finished. It says, number 16, verse 19, it said, do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Ghost. Do not quench. Suppress or subdue the Holy Ghost. You quench or subdue the Holy Ghost when you are not responding in the light of what he already told you. You say, thank me. Amen? Thank me no matter what it is. The Holy Spirit is there in you and he's there to back you up. He's there to help you. He's there to encourage you, to strengthen you. He's your standby. He's your advocate. Just thank me. By thanking me, the angels that have been assigned to help you, they are given the opportunity to walk. But when you begin to suppress the Holy Spirit by reacting based on your natural senses, you quench or suppress or hinder the move of the Spirit in your life. You hinder him from doing what he's supposed to do. You hinder your angels from walking on your behalf. So God said, don't quench, don't suppress. Don't hinder the Holy Spirit. He's the one that he has given to you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake. He said, I will not in any way leave you nor forsake you. And he said, assuredly not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But just thank me because I have your back covered. And that's why he told us in Colossians 3:17, he said, and whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon him. In dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. In dependence upon him, just do everything as unto him. Do everything as unto him, which means if it's not unto him, back off. Which means it will be an ungodly act. It will be an unrighteous act. It means God is not in that one. So, when you are doing it as unto the Lord, to for his glory, you are working with him as a team. And then, no matter how it turns out, just keep on thanking him. Because at the end, it will come out so beautiful. Because he's beautiful in every situation. No wonder David said, man after God's heart, even in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in Psalm 34, verse 1 to 3, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Boy, did that man see stuff? He sure did. But he made up his mind that he's going to praise God no matter the circumstance, no matter the issue. That his praises shall continually be in my mouth. What does continually mean? Non-stop. Amen? He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Who are the humble? Those who submit to what God said. Those who yield to God, who tilt towards how the word said it should be done, regardless of how they feel, regardless of what they are seeing, regardless of what they think, regardless of what others are saying. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He said, the humble shall hear thereof, shall hear it and be glad. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Magnify the Lord with me. What does it mean to magnify him? You make his name big. In other words, as you magnify the word of God in your life, as you choose to tilt to the word, no matter what, you are making God big. In other words, I don't care what I think. I don't care what they say. I don't care how I feel. The word said it, and I believe it, and I stick with the word. You magnify the word. You magnify. By magnifying the Lord, is as you're magnifying the word of God in your life, you allow the Amen. Praise the Lord. I guess you better give me the other one so that if this one is not sticking. Amen. So he said, they looked unto him radiant, and their faces were not blushed for shame or be confused. They looked unto him. They looked unto the word. They depended on the word of God, and they were not ashamed. There has never been anyone who had magnified the word in his or her life that had been put to shame. There has never been anyone. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen? Amen? Can you hear me? Is not responding, I can go ahead and he said, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. If any man, if any woman is engrafted in Christ Jesus, the Bible said you are a brand new person. Completely new. He said, the old has passed, the new has come. If you look at 1 John chapter 3, 1 to 3, the Bible said there, see what an incredible quality of love. By the way, before we continue, I want to go back to our theme again, our topic again. It says, appreciate, embrace, and thank God for the word. Amen. I want us to remember that. Can anybody help me to read the meaning of appreciate? Because it's important that we understand what we are doing this morning so that you'll be able to thank God with an understanding. I thought I was going to be able to get this from here. Okay, let me see if I can. No. Nobody is getting it from me. Do you have the meaning of appreciate? Okay, please get it and also get the meaning of embrace. So that when we are discussing these things, this is what God put in my heart.
He said, I want you to share with this with my children. I said, okay. And I was trying to put it for next year. And my husband, just a week this Monday, said, I want you to preach at Thanksgiving. I said, really? So I said, let me process it. I said, God, what am I going to share? He said, that thing that I told you. So I believe this is a message for this church. I don't know it, but I believe strongly that this is a message. Because how come that it just suddenly came? I've never preached on Thanksgiving, but he said, preach. So I said, let me make sure that God really wants me to share this. So that's why I wanted to understand when he says, appreciate, embrace, and thank God for the word, you'll be able to understand what it entails. Amen? So we say we are brand new person. And then I was reading a First John chapter. Please, when you get the meaning, let me know. So I want you to read it. Okay, go ahead and read it, please.
Recognize the full worth of.
Recognize the full worth of.
The full worth.
Okay.
Of someone.
Okay, recognize the full worth of someone, which means recognize the full worth of the word of God. Do you have anything for that other than that?
Yes, second meaning.
Okay, what does it mean?
To understand a situation fully.
Recognize. To understand the situation fully, which means to understand the word of God fully. So apart from recognizing, you have to also understand it. Okay, and then what about embrace? Embrace. When I'm at home, I'm able to get these meanings. I don't know why I can't get it here. Praise the Lord. Okay, what does embrace mean? To do what?
Hold someone closely in arms.
To hold someone closely in what? In your what? Okay, which means you hold the word of God what? Closely in your what? In your heart. Hold the word of God closely in your heart. So that's what we are discussing this one. That's the message for this church. Amen? All right, so let's continue. So I was calling it 1 John chapter 3, 1 to 3. He said, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge him. Verse 2 says, beloved, we are even here and now God's children. Here and now, if any man is engrafted in Christ, we are God's children. And he said, it is not yet disclosed, made clear, it's not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when he comes and is manifested, when it comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him. For we shall see him just as he really is. Amen? And then verse 3 said, and everyone who has this hope, resting on him, cleanses, purifies himself, just as he is pure, chaste, undefiled, guiltless. Amen? Then verse 9, no one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born, begotten of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So from where we read, we could see that we are a new creation when we are born again, when we receive the Spirit of Christ in us, and then it said here, what manner of love? And then verse 2 said, we are even here and now God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter. And yet he said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 17b said, as he is, so are we in this world. And then verse 9 is saying, anyone who is born of God does not practice sin. Amen? It's talking about our brand new person, our born-again spirit. In your spirit, you cannot sin. There is no sin in you because you are exactly as Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. Talking about your spirit that is born again. You are brand new, can never sin. Amen? So, and he said, beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter. Talking about, see, in your mind, will, and emotion, you find yourself doing one or two things that you know doesn't rhyme up with the word of God. True or false? We don't get it right all the time. So you must understand that it is your spirit that does not sin. Amen? But in this thing that we are carrying here that is carrying us, your mind, your will, your emotion, there is still some sin there. But you see, he said, and everyone who has this hope resting on him cleanses, purifies himself just as he is pure. How do you cleanse? You have to keep on working on your mind, on your will, on your emotion to line up with the real you, your born again spirit that is spotless, that is pure, that is holy, that is righteous. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Amen. So it is your spirit that is born again. Your mind, your will, your emotion, your body is not born again. And it keeps dragging you to sin. And the Bible says that those that have this hope, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, which means we shall now be like him, everything about us, including our new body. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us here so that finally we shall get our new body, which has been purchased but has not been redeemed. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 from verse 22 that even as the whole world is groaning because the earth is under a curse because of the sin of Adam, even we that are born again, we are also still groaning in this body, because a lot of times you find yourself doing something that is ungodly. And because your spirit is born again, you don't like it. You want to match up with your father. You want to honor him in everything that you do. But sometimes your body drags you down. Is that true of some of us here or all of us here? Of all of us, amen? Well, it's true of me. Praise the Lord. All right, so, but that's why God gave us his spirit. And that's why the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, you can get these things in Romans 8 from verse 22, that the spirit, he gave us his spirit, that he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays, he understands our weaknesses, and God understands what is the mind of the spirit. So God gave us his spirit that is helping us, that is there to encourage us to know that we are still in right standing with the Father, because the Father is looking at your spirit that is that of Christ. He's not looking at your body, your performance. That is why in his sight, you are pure, you are righteous, but in your own sight, you will see a lot of things that will make you want to lose boldness to come before him. But he said, we should still come boldly to receive what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. I want you to follow me so that you'll be able to appreciate what God gave to us by giving us the word of God. Amen? Then, so it is in our spirit that we exalt as Christ. Our outward man, that's our mind, will, and emotion, they are not born again. Your mind, your will, your emotion, in fact, your soul is not born again. And that is where the problem is. You must understand this, that your spirit is born again, but your soul is not born again. Praise the Lord. So, as long as you are in this body, you will have desires of the flesh. It will always come from time to time. Because we are still in this earthly body that will finally drop here when we finish here, or maybe when we are called home. It will finally drop. But until it drops and we go home, you have to walk with it. You have, because that's the house that is housing you. Otherwise, like we that are in this sanctuary, if it is cold outside, the cold will catch you if you're outside. If it is raining, the rain will beat you if you're outside, and that's why you stay inside. In the same manner, this is the house that is housing the real you, which is your born-again spirit. So, but then you have to take care of this body. Amen? So, you can now understand why Paul said in Romans chapter 7, 22-25, say, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who would deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we are delivered from this body of sin. And then Jude 24, he says, let's read it together. Now To him, do we have it? Ready, go. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Unto him who is able to do what? To keep you from stumbling. Who is able to keep you? God. But he does that by his word, through his word. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 said, I will read that one, if you, unless we have it. He said, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21 says what? Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And verse 22 says, And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. Bear with the word of exhortation. Bear with the word of exhortation. For I have written to you in few words. Bear with the word of exhortation. So he's able to keep you. This God of peace, the shepherd of our soul, is able to keep you complete in every good work, but it has to be through what? His word. Amen? You see why you must appreciate the word of God. Psalm 107 verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all our destruction. No matter the form of destruction, whether it is sickness, whether it is poverty, whether it is confusion, it is by his word that you are liberated. It is by his word that you are set free. There's no other way. Amen? And then 1 John chapter 2, 28, the Bible said there, and now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. What will make a believer to shrink back when Jesus comes? It's simply because the grace that is given to you, the ability to receive, to understand the word of God, you put it in your pocket and you did without a lot of things. You lived a miserable life here, yet you are born again. Yet you might even be spirit-filled. But your soul dragged you into all manner of things that is making you now feel so ashamed that before him. Remember when what Pastor Victor was teaching us, is he a stapology or whatever he's called? Whatever. So you see that he will finally come to give crowns for us to give account of how we made use of the grace that God gave to us. And we shouldn't allow that grace to be in vain. Amen. So he said we should remain in fellowship with Christ. How do you remain in fellowship with Christ? Embrace his word. Appreciate his word. Embrace his word. Love the word of God. Thank God for the word of God. You study the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. If you're born again, you will still make heaven, but your soul is not saved. It is by the word of God that you save your soul. Amen? So that you'll be able to enjoy fully all that Jesus died to give you. No wonder David said in Psalm 119, verse 50. He said, for your word has given me life. That is David in the Old Testament. Look at the discovery this man made. He said, the word of God has given him life. Verse 89, he said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And then verse 897, he said, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And yet the Bible said, this book of the law, it shall not depart from your mouth, but it shall meditate therein how many times? Day and night, meditate therein day and night, that you might be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then and then only you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. But he said, this book, the word of God, it shall not depart out of your mouth. Especially now that Jesus has come, we are talking about the truth. You search the scriptures to know everything about Jesus, because as he is, so are you in this world. And then David continued in verse 97, 98. He said, You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I have more understanding than all my teachers. And the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given to any child of God the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I used to be very afraid. And I remember from time to time, my husband would ask me, why are you always afraid? But the word of God has made me wiser than my teachers. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am so wise now because Jesus, the wisdom, the power of God and the wisdom of God is where? Is in me. Glory. He enables me in every situation and I come out rejoicing. I come out laughing. I come out so successful. Amen. And he said in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. So it's not just enough to hear, but you have to do what? To keep. You keep the word. You hear the word. You keep the word. In other words, you respond to the word by not subduing the Holy Spirit, but by yielding to what the word said. And then verse 103, he said, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He said the word of God is sweeter than honey. Have you ever tasted honey? You know honey is so sweet, but he said the word of God is sweeter than honey. If you have not realized that, it's simply because you have not tasted the word of God. You've not been fellowshipping with the word of God. And then verse 104 says, through your precepts, that's your word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It is his word that enables him to know which ones are false and which ones are right. Then 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Boy, there is so much darkness in this world. But I dare you, walk in the light of the word of God. The Bible said that they said that the light shines in darkness and darkness cannot overpower it, cannot comprehend it. You will always see light, no matter how dark the tunnel, because the word of God becomes the light that helps you navigate through whatever issue, whatever situation. So he said the word of God is lamp unto his feet and light to our path. He said verse 127, therefore, I love your commandments. He said, more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. How many people spend so much of their time and their energy pursuing after things that God said? When you first pursue me, all these things will come, will run after you, will meet you, and will overtake you. David said here that the word of God is even better to him than even fine gold. Even fine gold. That's the words of David. Yet David is in the old covenant, and we are in a better covenant. Verse 128 said, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. What keeps them? His soul. Because the soul is the issue. Remember I said the soul is not born again, but your spirit is born again. And then verse 130 said, the entrance of your words, it gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. No matter how simple, no matter how people say your mumu, the moment you begin to fellowship with the word of God, light comes, wisdom comes, understanding comes, and you begin to excel. You begin to flourish from one level of glory to another 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 level of glory until Jesus comes. The Bible said that the way of righteous shines brighter and brighter than the gleam of the day. That is the word of God. The righteous has a very bright issue in the future. If you are the righteous, you have Christ in you, your future is so bright. Amen? That is the word of God. Can you help me to turn to Psalm 92? I don't have it here. Psalm 92 verse 12. It's important that we read this in so that you know. But it is the word of God that puts you in that mold and you begin to enjoy all that the Father has given you in Christ Jesus, in his word. And if you get it, you let me know. Okay, let's see. Let me have it in the New King James Version. New King James Version. Shall we read it together, please, my brethren? Because this is talking about you if you're a child of God. Ready, go. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Is there any other verse after that one? Say, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He is not a man that he should lie. He said, if I have ever spoken a word, I'm not about to take it back. It shall surely come to pass. And this is for every child of God. Praise the Lord. But you have to be planted in the cause of our God. First, you're born again. You have to have the word of God engrafted or implanted in you. And you choose to respond in the light of the word of God. Amen. This is the message that God has for this church. And I dare you, if you will follow these things, watch out what happens to your life. You will have a lot of testimonies to give to the praise and glory of God the Father. And that will affirm the fact that this is a message for you coming from our Father. Amen. Job said in Job 23:12, he said, I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed and treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is Job. Job said, I have esteemed his word. I have treasured his word more than my necessary food. And Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16 said, your words we have found and I ate them. How do you eat it? You meditate on it. You chew it. You meditate on it. You allow it to garrison whatever you're doing. Say, I ate your word. And your words were to me a joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name. Chew the word of God. Not just hearing, but meditate. Meditate on this word. And it will become the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Amen? Because that's what the word said. So it is the knowledge of the word of God that sets us free in every area of our lives. Because the word of God is Jesus. The word of God is light. And this light, no darkness, no sickness, no poverty, no whatever it is, can comprehend that word. Because that's what the Bible said in John chapter 1. If you start reading from verse 4 and 5. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He said, and the light shines in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive of it. The darkness cannot receive light, you know. Once light shows up, darkness disappears. Amen? I mean, try it out. When you get home and it's dark, turn on the light. See whether the darkness will still remain. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19, 11 and 13. Revelation 19, 11 and 13. After that I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. Verse 13, he is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the word of God. So, when the Bible said, looking away from all that would distract unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, when you're looking unto the word of God is Jesus himself. The title by which he is called is the word of God. So when you immerse yourself in the word of God, meditate on the word of God, and allow the word of God to garrison you in all that you're doing, you have brought Jesus into the equation. And tell me, the Bible says, who is it that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded and authorized it? When you bring the word of God into the equation, the victory is guaranteed. Amen? No wonder Mary sat at the feet of Jesus just listening to him. And the Bible said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Of what is written. Because the word of God explains to you everything about you. When you hear everything about Jesus, that is talking about you. Because as he is, so are you. You have a joint spirit with Christ. Amen? And the Bible said that wisdom comes from the mouth of God. If you look at Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 6, it says, forsake not wisdom, and she will keep, defend, and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Talking about the word of God. Verse 10 says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. In other words, receive my word, and the years of your life shall be many. This is the word of God, children of God. This is the infallible word of your father. Please listen to his instructions so that you will not be living like men when he has given you his word to guide you in this life. We comfortably follow GPS, but God has given us his manual, the word of God, to guide you because you are not a member in this household, in the world. You are a member of God's household. Your citizenship is from heaven. You take instructions from where you belong. Heaven, child of God. And verse 12 says, when you walk, your steps shall not be hampered. Your path will be clear and open. And when you run, you shall not stumble. This is the word of God. But it's only when you follow it. And verse 13 said, take firm hold of instruction. That is the word. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Remember the Bible said, when Christ, who is your life? And the Bible said here that the title by which he is known is the word of God. So Christ is your life. The word of God is your life. 20 said, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. In other words, yield to it, no matter how foolish it sounds. Yield to it, even if the whole world is turning the other way. Yield to my word. I am your source. Verse 21 said, let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. I can't tell you how the word of God has been keeping me healthy since God opened my eyes to get this understanding. I don't take any multivitamin. I don't take anything at all. When God opened my eyes, all those things I used to take, how many tablets of them? Up to about 15 to 20. I stopped all of them when God gave me a revelation of the fact that he is my health. I'm not saying you should throw away your own until you get this revelation, until you get this understanding. Because you have to be from the knowing that you know that this is the reality of the thing. And he said in verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. He said, keep your heart, your mind, your will, your emotion with all diligence and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Amen. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. Don't be nonchalant about this. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Watch what you're thinking. Watch what you're exposing yourself to. Because those things, they form something on the inside, and those things inside begins to show on the outside. God said, keep your heart. Pay attention to my word. I am your source. He said, it will help your spiritual growth to understand the facts that you have your spirit that is exactly as that of Christ. You have your soul, which is where you have your mind, will, and emotion, and then you have your body. The reason it's important for you to understand this is so that you will understand that it is your spirit that is born again, that your soul is not. And the only thing that can ever save your soul is the word of God. Let's look at James chapter 1 verse 21. James chapter 1 verse 21. If we find it, let's read together. Okay. Ready, go. Get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, continue, receive and welcome the word which, implanted and rooted in your heart, contains the power to do what? To save your soul. It is only the word of God that will save your soul. The Bible said that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is alive. When you plant a dead seed, it will not germinate. But when you plant a live seed, it will germinate. The word of God is alive. It is the incorruptible seed of the word of God. It will always produce for whatever reason for which you plant it when you mix it with faith. It is only the word of God, the incorruptible seed. But he said, so get rid. That's a command. Who is to get rid? Am I? Or you? Or is it God? He said, get rid. How do you get rid? By choosing to tilt to the word of God. Remember we read that it is the word of God that will make you. But God will not force you to choose to submit to the word of God. You have to choose to submit, and then God will, by his word, make you. Amen? So he said, get rid. He said, and welcome, receive the word which implanted, rooted in your heart, contains the power. When the word of God is rooted in your heart, when the word of God is rooted, it has to be rooted. It's not on the surface. You have to hear it with the inner ear. When the word of God is rooted, it has the power. It contains the power to save your soul. Like I said, many people that are born again, that are spirit-filled, speaking in tongues, their souls are not saved. When you watch them and you see what they are doing, you say, oh my goodness, no, no. If Christianity is this one, no, me, I'm not born again. They will make heaven because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Remember what the Bible said in, can we read it? Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. Please, if you can get it in NLT. Romans 8, 38, 39. Let's read it together. Romans 8, 38, 39. Do we have it in NLT? Please, can we have it and read it together? I don't have it here. Okay, ready, go. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And then 39, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So, your spirit is born again. If you die, you make heaven. But you will live such a miserable life here. Because it's in your soul that we give room to the devil. Your mind will emotion your body. If you feel good, you do it. This is the area where we yield to the devil, and he makes a mincemeat of us. He makes a mincemeat of those who yield to him. And that's why the Bible said, submit to God by submitting to what the word said. When you submit to what the word said, you yield to how the word said you should do it. Then you stand the ground to now say, hey, stay there, for it is written. Say, resist the devil. And what will he do? He will flee because he knows that you know. But you have to, first of all, submit to God by submitting to what the word said. So it is our soul that needs, you know, salvation. And third John verse 2 said, behold, beloved, I wish above all things that you might do what? Prosper and be in what? In health as what? as your soul is what? Prospering. To the extent to which your soul is prospering is to the extent to which you prosper. And this soul salvation is a process that will continue until Jesus comes to take you home. So to the extent to which you submit to the word of God, you will keep on changing from one level of glory to another level of glory. So I encourage you, as the Bible said in James chapter 1 verse 25, that if as you look into this perfect law of liberty, you should be a doer of it. And the Bible said you will do what? You will flourish in whatever you do. God has given us his word. And that his word is to save our soul so that we shall be able to enjoy all that Jesus died to give us, that we will flourish here on earth. I want you today to appreciate the word of God. When God opened my eyes to this, I am telling you, frankly speaking, I, Dorothy Emmanuel, I am so blessed. I live an effortless life, life with ease. No matter what comes my way, I know how to put them in the garbage and take what God has given me. I have so much peace because of the word of God. At home, at my job, everywhere I find myself, there is so much peace. And because of that peace, because of the revelation of the word of God I keep getting, this body is so healthy from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. And it only came by the word of God. And that is why, since I got this revelation, every time I receive my pay, there's a specific amount I put out there and I say, I thank you, Lord. It's just because of the revelation I'm getting from the word and what it's doing to my body. I am thanking God for myself, thanking God for my husband. My marriage is so sweet because the word of God is giving me an understanding of how to marry. And is also giving my husband, is giving me an understanding of how to relate with my children, giving me an understanding of how to relate with everyone. So my life is kind of cool. And that is why I'm encouraging you today. Embrace the word of God. Appreciate the word, embrace it, and your life will never be the same again. Shall we all rise? Amen.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.